Join me in 1 Timothy. We will depart from the book of Acts here for a bit. But given the event of today, I'd like to speak to that. And so we will move away from the book of Acts and move to 1 Timothy chapter 3. While you're headed there, I do want to apologize, but Miss Cora Poovey is with us and recovering from her surgery. It's good to see you, Miss Cora. God bless you. I have great empathy for her with the knee surgery and all that stuff. Boy, that just... Anybody who has problems with their knees, that's just tough stuff. 1 Timothy. This is a familiar passage that we have heard many times. And so I want to speak to it briefly and then move to a passage in Matthew. But I want to do a little bit more in the work of application today than a little bit more than what we might do normally, and not so much theological discourse. But I want to really move into the application of pastors, elders, and deacons, given our situation and the place we find ourselves today. So join me in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And those of you who hold the office of elder and deacon, those of you who are about to be ordained and installed into the office of elder or deacon, please listen to this very closely and let the gravity of each word and each phrase sink in. This is Paul writing to the young Timothy as the young Timothy is trying to lead churches and bring men and women along to be in that place of leadership. And so Paul teaching Timothy, Timothy turns around and teaches others. Same here, Paul teaching Timothy and Timothy trying to turn and teach others. So here we are. Paul says in chapter 3, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested. And then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. We'll end our reading there for just a moment. Every January and throughout the year in our session meetings, it's actually listed across the bottom of our agenda so that it's in the forefront of our minds every month as we meet. But the statement says something like this to the members of the session. Look within your shepherding groups, looking for those men and women who will be leaders. They look within their shepherding groups for individuals who represent the teaching of which I just read. Many churches have nomination committees, et cetera, et cetera. I feel that it is the session's responsibility as leadership of a church to look within the church body and they be the ones who bring forward those individuals that God is working with. And these individuals, the elders of the session, see evidence of this as they are living their life out before the people of the church. And so the individuals you see brought forth here this morning are individuals the session feels are not perfect individuals, are not individuals who meet every one of these items perfectly, because none of us do that. But I pray what is seen is the desire, is the working toward, is the heart that represents these kinds of things. I'll speak to just a few of them. I don't want to cover them all totally, but just a few of them that might not be so very clear. The overseer must be above reproach, meaning that there is nothing that someone could hold against you that would hold you in a conspicuous, negative manner. Again, that's not perfection, but that you conduct your life, your business, so that no one has grounds to hold something against you, that you hold yourself, both in the church and in public, in the public arena, in a place of honesty and in a place of integrity, and that people see that. The husband of but one wife. This is one of those debatable portions of this text. It does not mean that a man who has been divorced cannot hold office. There are those who hold to that, but it simply means that there's one wife. Now, if divorce is a part of an individual's past, that may need to come to bear in the discussion be held about issues and grounds and etc. But that would be a very private conversation between a session member, an elder, or a pastor and the individual in question. Able to teach. So that means all of the elders in our church should be able to stand at the front of the room like Pastor Tim does and conduct a class and be able to teach, right? No, sir, that's not what that means. There's a lot of teaching that goes on in a lot of different contexts and a lot of different fashions and forms. I've said many times, Steve Stewart probably does more over the fender of a car to those individuals in and out of his shop than I do. But what it means is that an elder is given to providing instruction at the appropriate time and in the case in which it's needed. That a session member, an elder doesn't back away and say, well, no, that's your, no. No, no. An elder will interject himself, more particularly the teachings of Scripture, into the situation at hand, whether it be a one-on-one conversation or whether it be in front of a classroom, such as I do many times, David, Tony, David, others. But that teaching can take place in many places and in many ways. Must manage his own family well. Must manage his own family well. This is one of the things we look at, is how does the individual work in the context of his family? Does he provide biblical instruction, biblical leadership, biblical guidance? Does he provide discipline toward the children? And are his children perfect? No. And it doesn't mean your children are not above making mistakes and they don't need to. No. Again, it's the heart of the person. It's the ambitions and the actions of the person and their care for the family, the care and leadership of the individuals within the family. Because like it says, if you can't manage your family, how can you manage the church, which the larger family at hand? Now, much of what is said here speaks to the deacon as well. Verse 8, it says, deacons likewise. Deacons likewise. So much of what is being said about the overseer slash elder is applicable to the deacon in the context of the deacon activities and the elder activities. Now, a deacon is not held to being able to teach as much as it is a requirement of an elder. But again, a deacon is an officer in the church. A deacon is a leader in the church. A deacon should take the opportunities to provide guidance within the realm that they might find themselves. Verse 11. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Again, a debatable part of this passage. We do not hold that this means that the wife of a deacon, or in our case, we have female deacons, so it would be speaking to the husband, is considered a deacon as well. I know some churches who hold that if the man is the deacon, then the wife is the deacon as well. That's not what this is speaking of. But spouses, please know the impact you have on your spouse's ministry, whether it be elder or deacon, by the way you conduct yourself. I can remember as we interviewed for this position, Judy was as interviewed almost as much as I was. Because that position affects a great deal of my ability and my acceptance and my work in this church. Well, it's the same for a deacon and it's the same for an elder. So spouses, mind your P's and Q's, because it affects the work of the one holding the office. Why is this so important? Why is this language so strict? Why is this language so firm? And why does Paul make this much effort? If you go to the book of Titus, you find this language spoken of again. Not quite in this detail, but you hear it again. Why is this so important? Well, for two reasons, I believe. One, it is the importance of what is being cared for. And it is on behalf of whom we are caring for this thing that it's so important. First of all, the thing being cared for, it is the church. It is the body of Jesus Christ. It is the people of God. You are God's people. He said many times throughout Scripture, I am your God, you are my people. He first spoke that to the Israelites. But as we move into the New Testament context, he's speaking to the church. You are the people of God. And so you are those individuals that are under the care of the church. Well, in his wisdom, he has given leadership offices to that church to care for it and provide for it. That's the offices we fill. And so the importance of who you are demands this kind of language for those who would stand in leadership positions. Secondly, it is on whose behalf we do this. Who is the head of this church? It's not me. It's not David Sides. It's not the session. The head of this church is Jesus Christ. Everything here belongs to him. So the body is to reflect his character. The leadership of this body is to reflect his character. And we are to be Jesus Christ to the body of Christ. Those of you who sit in this office, your shoulders should be getting very heavy. Paul says, if anyone seeks to be an overseer, this is a noble task. Well, don't hurt yourself reaching your arm around your back, patting yourself on the back. It may be noble, but it is weighty. And we who hold this office will be held accountable. I believe with all of my heart I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, and he will look at me and he said, Tim, what did you do for my children? What did you do for my church? My greatest fear is that one of you will be standing there And he asked, "Well, what about this?" "Well, Pastor Tim never said that, never said anything about that." There will be something I didn't do for the body of Christ that I'm charged to do. I will be held accountable for that. Those of you who hold the office will be held accountable. Those of you who hold the office of deacon, you will be held accountable, because this is the church of Jesus Christ. He is the head. And we are simply standing here as under shepherds, trying our best to represent him to you. We are to care for the church. We are to care for the people of God while the master is away. Let me take you to a parable. I'd like to try to point that out. Go with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 14. You know the parable well, but I'm going to use its summary in a little different direction, if you will. We're speaking of the kingdom of God, of which the church is in and a portion of the kingdom of God. And so we're speaking of the kingdom of God. And Matthew writes Jesus' words here. "Again, it will be like a man." Again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey, "who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you had entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. We see the same story with the man who had 2 talents. He went off and invested them. We see the story of the one man who did not invest but went and dug a hole and tried to hide them because he thought his master was a hard taskmaster. Who is the master in this story? It is Jesus Christ. I hear it behind me. Thank you. It is Jesus Christ. Now, this passage, first and foremost, applies to every believer seated here today. Every believer in the kingdom of God has been given certain talents, certain abilities, certain possessions, certain means and ways to work within the body of Christ. And so this applies to everyone in this room. But I would like to say also, using this context and this teaching, that it applies, I believe, on a greater level to those of us who hold office in the church. And what are the talents? What are the items within the church that have been given to us to lead, if I might use the word invest, to make more of than what they first were? That's you. That's you. I have been given 278 talents. That's the number in our membership roll at this point. How am I investing those? How am I making more of those than what they were before? Again, I think I will be asked, what have you done for my children? How did you invest those talents? Or am I the one who ran off and dug a hole and put all y'all in it? I pray not. I pray not. Elders, take this to heart. You are the leadership of this church. Deacons, take this to heart. You're a part of the officers, the leaders of this church. We have been given great resources. I've said many times, there's nothing this church can't do. There's nothing this church can't do. Given the heart, given the mind, the Holy Spirit's working, we can do it. Take this to heart. Now, as I said, I want to get a little bit more specific. Now, if you would pull out the insert I asked you to stow away a bit ago, the ARP Church of Government, Form of Government, concerning deacons, elders, and ministers, I want to try to paint a picture here, if I can, using these 3 items. You should see 2 on one side and the 3rd on the back. These are directly from our form of government. Deacons and elders, pay particular heed to them. Also on the back, you see those that are given to me. Now, I want to go through these very quickly. I'm not going to divide them up. But I want you to see the full encompassing picture that when all three of these are done, how the body of Christ is cared for. First of all, deacons. It is set forth in Scripture as one of sympathy and service. It is the duty of a deacon to be faithful and diligent, actively sharing in worship service of the church and giving particular emphasis to the duties of his office. Folks, that means you've got to be here. Pure and simple. You've got to be here. We've had a bit of a problem with that in some of our areas. Elders, deacons, you've got to be here. The diaconate shall minister to those in material need, encourage practice of total stewardship, plan with the session the causes toward which offerings of the congregation shall be directed, secure and receive these offerings, have the care of the general property. In short, we say that the deacons have care and concern for the physical. And it doesn't begin with the physical building. It doesn't begin with physical property. Notice the deacons shall minister to those in material need or distress. The first one up there, A, is set forth in Scripture as one of sympathy and service after the example of Christ. A deacon is to meet the physical needs of the people first. First. The physical needs of the people first. Then we move to caring for buildings and budgets and vehicles, et cetera, et cetera, the physical property. It's the people. Deacons, the people are first. Now, elders. To the office of ruling elder shall be men chosen of wisdom, discretion, sound faith, godly life, qualified under the standards recorded in Scripture, of which we just read in 1 Timothy 3. Ruling elders exercise government and discipline, oversee the spiritual interests both of a particular congregation and of the church, guard and promote spiritual welfare of the congregation, required by their office to visit the people, especially sick, pray with them, to comfort the sorrowing, encourage the weak, guide the wayward and careless. In general, to discharge all other duties in Christian love. Now, when we compare elders and deacons, in short, as I said, deacons take care of the physical needs of the people. The elder takes care of the, thank you, I heard it behind me, spiritual needs of the people. And when you put those two together, you have care for the whole person. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. If we were to prioritize this for an elder, government and discipline of the church, I'm about to ordain some folks here just in a few minutes. I couldn't do that without permission of the session. They have the discipline, government of the church. Oversee the spiritual interests. Required by their office to visit the people. This we have been working on, and I appreciate your patience in that, but we have been working on this, and we want to do better. But the elders are given to visiting the people. Now look at the minister. A minister is a man who is called by God and the Lord Jesus Christ to a special ministry of the word. My primary job is the ministry of the word. My ministry begins right here. This is it. I begin right here. A pastor in particular congregation, they divide up responsibilities in two parts. Publicly, pray for and with the people, read the scriptures, preach the word, teach, reprove, exhort, and comfort, administer sacraments, officiate at weddings, and it goes on. And then down number two, private responsibilities. A minister shall visit with and be available to his people as their pastor, that he may counsel with them and instruct them in spiritual things, visit the sick, the afflicted, advise, comfort, pray, admonish those who are guilty of conduct unbecoming. In general, assume the spiritual oversight of the people. Again, to prioritize these things, as I said, my ministry begins right here. This is my priority. This is my role in life. This is where it happens, right here. And then as I move out into the congregation, I try to bring this preached word, the revealed word, the exposed word out into the people as I counsel with and bring that word to bear in your life. Even to the point of where, as it said in number 4, part 2, admonish those who are guilty of conduct unbecoming. That's the fun part of my job. which is very challenging, but that's part of it as well. Now, I want you to look. If you lay all three of these down side by side, you have the deacons and their responsibilities, the elders and their responsibilities, the minister and his responsibility. If you put all three of these together and we all are doing the things of which is given to us to do, look at the care that is provided to the body of Christ. There should not be one need that goes unmet. Physical, spiritual, teaching, counseling, comforting, praying. You need money for a light bill. You need some support finding a car. You need some support with the children. When you put all three of these together, it covers the entire need of the body of Christ. And so those of us who fill this office, these offices, have a great responsibility. But if we do what we are called to do, there shouldn't be a need that goes unmet. And if it were filled with perfect individuals, that's exactly the way it would be. But we are all sinners, fallen, saved by grace, and so we have work to do. But I want you to help us. I want you to help us. Pray for us. Pray for those in leadership. We all have families. We all have jobs. We all have responsibilities otherwise. This takes time. That's hard. This is challenging. Do you know how hard it is to call someone up and say, look, we need to talk to you about some spiritual things. You've been out of line lately. Really? That's a hard call. But I know you will. But please pray for us as we step into these offices.